O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, and this is the All About Jack podcast, one of the many features of my website. The following is a repeat of one of my earliest interviews. It was first released before I had even begun this show. In fact, I've not previously shared it at the current location where my audio files are hosted on podbean.com. I spoke with professional writer Terry Glaspie in person back in 2011, but our conversation was actually rather short, and having just reviewed it, I'm surprised how little I actually asked him about the book that was the reason for meeting with him. The book is called Not a Tame Lion. It first came out back in 1996, but was re-released twice after that, and the current edition from 2005 has the subtitle The Spiritual Legacy of C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia on the cover. Be sure to catch my new interview with Terry about a book called 75 Masterpieces Every Christian Should Know. That will be posted the day after the following chat is released. Starting off, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here. You've written a book on Lewis, but it's been published three times or so, it seems. If you go online, you see kind of three different versions. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Okay, well, yeah, that's the history. The history behind that, it says something about how the publishing world works. That book was originally released as a hardcover as part of a series of biographies, and it was called Not a Tame Lion, which was my original and always intended title for it. And then at some point along the line, the publisher decided, well, this might sell outside of that series of bios because Lewis is such a popular figure to talk about. And so they said, why don't we use the subtitle as the title when we release it in paperback? Hence, there's a version out called The Spiritual Legacy of C.S. Lewis. Well, when the Narnia films began to release, of course, the thought was, everybody is looking at what they've got available and saying, okay, how do we maximize our backlist of C.S. Lewis books? And so the publisher came to me with the idea of, why don't you write a new introduction that kind of ties it to the Chronicles of Narnia? And so the Chronicles, it was re-released again in paperback, again as Not a Tame Lion, only this time with a slightly different subtitle, which included Narnia. So, yeah, that's the long and twisting road. Please don't collect all three unless you're some sort of obsessive that has to have every version, which would be crazy.
Now, I noticed a review online stating that your book was, quote, one of the clearest, best-crafted analysis of the legacy of C.S. Lewis. How did you come about to make such an accomplishment?
Well, I appreciate comments like that. That means a lot to me. But my attempt was through the fact that I had, really devoured all of Lewis's books and loved Lewis's books so much. They meant so much to me that I thought what I want to do is to try to help the person who wants a general introduction to Lewis. Maybe they've read one or two Lewis books, but you want to know something about his life and about kind of the wide range of his thought. How could I do that and put it together in one short, readable book that would be fun to read and interesting? And so that was kind of the way that came about. I mean, I spent several years, actually, of rereading Lewis and looking for the key moments and poring through his diaries and the diaries of his brother, his letters, just trying to put it all together. And hopefully what I've created is something that'll be fun to read and will really give people a great starting point to understand Lewis. And from there, they may want to go off and explore other books.
Now, why do you think Lewis has such an appeal to so many people?
Well, I think there are a couple things. I think the first thing is Lewis really strove to communicate the reasonableness of the Christian faith. A lot of people come to the faith because of emotional needs or a realization of the change they need to make in their lives. But, when people begin to ask them hard questions, they don't know what to say. They get a little tongue-tied and fearful. And Lewis is just such a big help because he really shows us that it's reasonable to be a Christian. that that's a reasonable, wise, sensible decision to make. And so I think that's one appeal. It's like, in one sense, it's kind of the idea of, you know, isn't it great that somebody that smart and that wise holds the same faith I do? That gives me a little more sense of security that, okay, maybe I'm on the right path. And then as I read Lewis's books and he unpacks the reasons for faith, it's so convincing, and it feels so common sense. It's common sense truth. It reaches into something deep within us and connects. So, and then the other side is Lewis's imagination. Lewis had just so much creativity and a way to take the old story of the gospel and find entirely new images and word pictures to help us understand and to help us experience really the truth anew. And so I think the way that he holds those two things together is really powerful and unique.
Personally, which book by Lewis has meant the most to you, or one that you believe has impacted you the most?
That's a really hard question, because it's kind of like that thing of where do you begin? Probably the first book by Lewis that I read, I believe, was Mere Christianity. And still to this day, I think that's one of the, maybe the best introduction to what is Christianity that you could hand someone. And that's the effect it had on me. It really helped me to see my faith more deeply and understand what it means, what the Christian doctrine means, and what it means to live out that doctrine. And so I just, that book means an awful lot to me. The Great Divorce, which is a wonderful little allegory, was a book that's meant a lot to me. And of course, the Chronicles of Narnia have been a book that I've loved. Although the interesting thing is, I read a lot of Lewis's nonfiction first. I wanted the deep stuff. That's what I thought. You know, I'm going to read all the philosophy and theology and apologetics, and then maybe later I'll get to that fiction stuff. Well, what I found when I finally got around to reading the fiction is the fiction might even actually be deeper than the deep theology. And you know, I jokingly said in a talk I gave that, you know, Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia was the greatest work of theology of the 20th century. And I'm only half kidding, because he takes the deep realities and he gives us these beautiful, beautiful word pictures. And we have these experiences along with the children in Narnia, and we're transformed. I mean, Aslan is such a powerful picture of who Christ was. And every time I visit anew those books and come face to face with Aslan, I feel like I'm getting a little bit deeper glimpse of who God is.
How about, besides your own book on Lewis, do you have any must read or something that you highly recommend?
I would say the first thing I would recommend is actually read Lewis's books. A lot of times it's easy for us to get caught up in reading secondary literature and not read the primary literature. I've always said the goal of my book is, if I can get you interested in reading more Lewis, then I have met my goal. In fact, if partway through reading my book, you set my book aside and pick up some C.S. Lewis books to read, that's just fine, because that's really the goal. But there are some really good secondary books out there. If you want a really in-depth biography, I've always really enjoyed the one by George Sayer. I think that's excellent. Peter Kreft has written a couple really good books on Lewis and his thought. It's almost hard to know where to end and where to begin, but there's such a richness of books about Lewis that are available. But I'll tell you, you can't do better than to actually revisit the books themselves.
Well, thank you, Terry, for your time.
I appreciate it.
Again, what you've been listening to is a chat I had with Terry Glaspie about the book, Not a Tame Lion. It came out back in 1996, but it was most recently released in 2005. You can find a link in the show notes on how to get a copy. I'm William O'Flaherty, and thanks for listening to All About Jack, a podcast that is one of the many features of EssentialCSLewis.com. Be sure to catch a new interview I'm doing with Terry about 75 masterpieces every Christian should know that will post the day after the show you're listening to is released, so it's probably already there. You can locate the show notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the audio files are hosted, and it can be a little easier to find the shows there. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Finally, don't forget my book, C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, A Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters, is out before too long. Or if you're listening to this a month or so after it's posted, then it's already available. Either way, you can learn more about it by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com.